Do you want to show a truly diverse and inclusive portfolio to your clients and to your community? Is this something that you struggle with because you're not really too sure how to approach it? I have an expert here today that you definitely want to listen to. Raj has a very fascinating story, but I'm going to let you hear it on the Focal Points podcast. Let's get started. Welcome to Focal Points, an end photo podcast hosted by Dori Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. Well, welcome to the Focal Points podcast by End Photo. I'm your host, Dori Howell, and I'm so glad to be here with my friend, Raj Bandopadhyay. He is a brand new photographer based out of New York City, and I have known Raj for several years, and it's been a wonderful time just following his story. And his personal story is dynamic and interesting, and then what he does for his clients is simply incredible. But I don't want to take too much time and tell you, because I would love to have Raj explain that for himself. So Raj, welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dori. Thank you for having me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Now, I would love for you to just spend just a couple minutes, explain to our audience who aren't familiar with you, what your photography journey has looked like.
It's a very interesting journey. I have a bit of an unconventional photography background. First of all, I'm an immigrant. I grew up in India, and I'm in my 40s now. I moved to the U.S. in my early 20s after college for grad school. And so I've been in the U.S. for over 20 years. I bring, you know, some of both cultures into everything I do. And then secondly, I came to the U.S. to study, after a bachelor's degree in computer science, to do a PhD in computer science. And I did that. I was a software engineer for a while, and then a data scientist working with artificial intelligence, super, super, super hot field. And then in my late 30s, about 5 or 6 years ago, I had a bit of a, reawakening crisis, however you call it, but then decided that I wanted a different path altogether. But then, I bring a lot of that mix of, analytical as well as creative mindset into my work.
So basically, you're a big photographer, but also a big smarty piece. it is officially Dr. Raj. It's not just Raj, it's Dr. Raj. So
I guess you could use that.
Let's be respectful of that, because that does take a lot of work, and those aren't easy degrees to get.
And then, third interesting kind of background thing about me is I am married to somebody who is transgender. And that happened because, we have been together for 14 years. When we got together, my partner was presented as a straight white woman. And then about 7 years into our marriage, came out as transgender and started the process of transitioning from female to male. And now he presents completely as male and uses he, him pronouns. So I've had this really interesting experience of going from being, what is perceived as a very straight relationship to a very gay relationship. Also it's interracial. So there are a lot of angles that I bring to my work, all of this experience of being an immigrant, having changed careers drastically, going from in this really interesting, being part of this story around gender and sexuality and sexual orientation and an interracial relationship.
Right. Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the podcast was because of the story that you tell. And A few weeks ago, I was doing a series, and I asked on my Instagram stories some questions about photography education and educators in general. And that episode, it aired in July. So we know that that episode is out there. We'll link to it in the show notes so that you can access that information. And Raj was really, he's a champion and an advocate for really challenging people to show and be inclusive in their businesses. And Raj has a specific story to tell. I'm in an interracial marriage and I have a biracial child. And so those are where our stories are similar, in the fact that I wish the photography industry showed more people like me, but not just in the cool way, like in the normal everyday way. Yeah. Like for my daughter, for example, she has the, what would be considered the completely culturally acceptable biracial look of the beautiful curly hair and the caramel skin mm-hmm. and what you see in the Gap ads and what you see in marketing and all that type of thing. And, but a lot of people aren't like that. They're just normal, everyday people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband and I are everyday people that just happen to produce a beautiful child. It's, you know, but when I look at, when I'm looking at photographers' portfolios that I might want to hire or that type of thing, there's a lot of things that I can see where I know that it's not just in the photography, but it's in the way they speak and the way that they talk to their clients, what they put out in their website and their social media, that they're not truly inclusive yeah. of others. And I don't think it's because they don't want to be. I just think they don't know how to be. So mm-hmm. I thought Raj would be a really, really great person to have this conversation with. And so my first question for Raj is, what does it truly mean to you when you're looking out in the landscape of our industry to be a small business, a small business owner, maybe not even specific to photography, but to show that you're welcoming to everyone and to all kinds of people? What can we do as small business owners to really roll out that welcome mat to people?
Yeah. I think in that sense, as photographers, we have a distinct advantage over mm-hmm. many other service providers in that we can not just talk about our work, but also show our work. Mm-hmm. You know, every business, every company talks about being inclusive, but we can actually show it. And I think it's important mm-hmm. to do that. You get the clients you show. I mean, that is a very common truism for most portrait photographers, and that is really true. I often mm-hmm. see photographers, for example, even those who would consider themselves inclusive or body positive or, you know, whatever label that you use, you go to their portfolio and they are photographing a very narrow set of bodies. And even if you talk a good game about being inclusive, the visuals tell a much bigger story. So you're not showing a diverse set of bodies or a diverse set of people in your work. You are signaling to your potential clients or your potential audience that this is, you know, truly what I am, regardless of my aspirations or what I say. So I think that's okay. The biggest thing we can do as photographers is to just show our inclusivity in our work.
I love that. Now, here's the next step of that question, and you probably know where I'm going with this, mm-hmm. is the fact that you just said it. You said, we can only show who hires us. Mm-hmm. We only show... You know, for me, in my portfolio, I have a lot of white families, a lot of white mm-hmm. people, but I have actively worked to get people of color, maybe it's my family members or that type of thing, to show a more diverse range. Yeah. But if you live in an area where you want to be inclusive and you want to welcome all types, but the people who are hiring you are not necessarily reflective of your complete clientele that you would like to show, what are some tips do you think that photographers can use to go out and find those people that can represent the portfolio in a more appropriate way?
Yeah, I think that's a difficult question but a very important one. I am lucky in the sense that I've always lived in very diverse places. So it's like, you know, I lived in San Francisco and then San Francisco, the Bay Area, and then now I live in New York City. So it is by nature a little more diverse. But then I've also had to make effort to find, those diverse clients. And what I found mm-hmm. is that when you are in a place where you have no work to show, that's automatically a barrier. Because even when you go mm-hmm. out and say like, hey, I'm going to, you know, you might approach, you know, if you're a white person and you have like all, you know, white clients on your site, and then you approach a person of color and be like, hey, I want to do that. It's you need to be a little more sensitive about like, hey, I'm conveying that you're actually going to respect that person and not just use them as a, you know, token kind of yeah. person of color on your mm-hmm. site. So like, you're actually like doing it in a respectful way, that you're trying to understand their story and their background and so on. But also what I've found sometimes is I go through friends or community that person might trust. So for example, mm-hmm. in my photo shoots, if I'm doing a photo shoot with somebody that I may not have an experience working with, for example, if I remember my first transgender client I worked with a while ago. Mm-hmm. And this was a trans woman. And I made sure to have an assistant in my shoot who was also a trans mm-hmm. person. And so that kind of made it a little bit like, oh, this is a person, you know, it made the space a little bit safer for them. That they could count on somebody who understood some of their experience in a way that I couldn't. And so it's important to remember that we as humans, it's hard for us to, as much as we might be capable of empathy, we can never really get other people's experience, especially if it's very different from ours. So finding as many ways as you can to bridge that experience or empathy gap can really build trust.
Okay. That's a wonderful idea. And I don't think that that's something that people would normally think of, is the fact that if you are going to be seeking out to photograph people who are dramatically different than you, first of all, what an honor to be able to do that and that they're going to trust you, but to put things in place, assistance, whatever that is, that are more like them than you, it helps really bridge that gap and shows you as being someone who they can trust.
Yeah.
Because that is the number one thing. I don't care what genre it is that you're photographing. They need to be able to trust you. Otherwise, what you get from what they put in front of the camera is not going to be truly then you're not going to get the final results you want. They have to be able to be relaxed and feel comfortable in that space that you are ultimately the one responsible for creating that space.
Exactly.
It's like when you invite someone into your home, this is what I tell my coaching clients all the time. It doesn't matter if it's a studio or a public park or your home or even their home.
No.
You're the one that's in charge of that session. It's your house at that, like, quote unquote house at that point in time.
Yeah.
What do you do when people come to your home to make them feel most comfortable? And depending on who it is, you might do different things.
Yeah.
And so just taking that extra step of thoughtfulness, I think is really, really important. So do you suggest, you know, when we live in an area, and we were talking beforehand and I made this example, you live in the middle of Iowa and you want to have a diverse portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see on the outside of society doesn't appear very diverse.
Yeah.
But we know that a diverse community exists. Do you have any tips or tricks to how you can access some of those things when you don't see it on the outside?
I mean, a couple of simple ways are, number one, travel. So you can always, if you can afford that, to make the time and financial resources for that, you can always travel and do workshops in other cities. I built a lot of my early, when I was doing boudoir before I did personal branding, I built a lot of my early portfolio going to workshops or training things, events. And, there's to always be models there you could work with and so on. And I specifically picked workshops and teachers who taught how to work with diverse bodies and had diverse models in there. So that automatically quickly gave me a portfolio, a starter portfolio to build with. So that's one way to do it. The second way to do it is to actually pay models. You can put out a model call, maybe look in your local like theater companies, or if there are modeling agencies, even in smaller towns, it can be. And actually, put out calls and pay models for their time. And do that.
Yeah. That concept in the photography industry, surprisingly, is not very popular.
Right.
But I think it's something to remember that, you know, because we use the term model call so flippantly.
Yeah.
But I've always said, you know, models get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But models don't pay. And you don't pay, they don't pay for images or pay for files or whatever. If they're showing up, a true model, if they're showing up to do work, they expect to get paid.
Yeah.
And you can hire any sort of look, any skin color, anything you want, pretty much anywhere, I would imagine, in the country. Or you might need to travel to the next largest town to find what you're looking for. But you can pay people to be in your portfolio. And that's how it used to be done.
Yeah.
Is that if you wanted a certain look, that you would hire a model and you would pay them for the time. And they are there to do a job, just like you're there to get images that you want to show in your portfolio. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be as, I think the idea of that is that it's always very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be very expensive.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You might have to do a little bit more on the styling end, but it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah, and if you're near a bigger city, or if you can travel to one, then most big cities will have modeling agencies. And if you reach out to them, I've done this, several other photographers I know have done this, where mm-hmm. you can just reach out to modeling agencies and be like, hey, do you have any new, you know, emerging or fresh faces who need test shots? And mm-hmm. modeling agencies always want their models to have, you know, beautiful photos. So they're always willing to, mm-hmm. especially their newer models. And they want mm-hmm. their models to get practice in front of a camera.
Yeah.
So especially if they're newer yeah. models. And you can always specify, I'm looking for this kind of model. I'm looking for diverse skin colors or whatever, whatever kind of diversity or look you want. And you can say, do you have any emerging faces you'd like some test shots of? And they'll probably just hook you up immediately.
One of my favorite things to do when I'm presenting my products to my clients is to give them options that allow them to have everything all in one place. And one way that I do that is I show them the beautiful folio box options from InPhoto. I can get them in a linen finish, I can get them in a leatherette finish, I can get the acrylic print on top, or just get them customized with their name and event date. It's one thing that truly sets me apart as a photographer in my area by offering these beautiful, beautiful products. And you can do it too. It's perfect for wedding photographers, newborn, portrait, family, or pet photographers. And it's something that my clients absolutely love. And if you want a discount on it, head over to our show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast and grab my 75% off discount code that you can use for your very first sample. Do it today. That's awesome. Great tip. Okay, so what can photographers do mm-hmm. specifically when it comes to their website and their social media and the wording that they use to show that they want to be more inclusive when it comes to the people that hire them? I'm a big proponent of verbal communication mm-hmm. and the words that you use matter.
Yeah.
And terminology has changed a lot.
Yeah.
In the past 5-10 years, even my daughter in middle school comes home and says, Mom, you really can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I can't. Okay. That's really good to know. So I'm learning all the time based on younger generations, but are there things that yep. you see on websites all the time that you just kind of make you cringe a little bit?
Yeah. It's less about word and more about images for me, but,
mm-hmm.
what I find helps is, so something that I do is I work with a lot of people who, if you look at my website, they are people with a lot of different kind of backgrounds, whether it's kind of mm-hmm. racial or age. Like most of my clients tend to be 40 and above. I just worked with a woman a couple of weeks ago who was a branding photographer and for a photo shoot, and she is 67. And
that's
that was
awesome.
Like super fun. So
yeah,
what I try to do is before I share any photos or anything about them, I typically do an interview with them where mm-hmm. I will record it and I'll like ask them about their story and their experience. And that way I get to use their words about themselves instead of imposing okay. my own language. It's like,
right.
like, you know, if I like, you know, work with a 67-year-old woman, like I could come up with something. But it's likely that because I don't understand that person's experience or, you know, their whatever they are facing at that particular age or whatever journey they've gone through, I could get something mm-hmm. wrong, or I could inadvertently mm-hmm. say something that is insulting or whatever. And the same goes for anyone who is different from me in any way, significant mm-hmm. way. But when you use, instead of imposing your own language, when you use their words to convey their story or the words that you go want to go with the photo, that automatically has a much better chance of being respectful mm-hmm. and, you know, appropriate.
That's great. Now, when you do these videos, do you, is it something that you share with as content on your different,
yeah.
you know, on your website or your blog or whatever? And obviously they would need to know this and approve of that.
Yeah.
Or is this really just so that you can form a better relationship with them?
So both. I mean, one is that, you know, it's a good way to debrief and get, you know, them to talk about that experience and revisit that experience that I'm providing. But also, once I have the video, I typically transcribe it. I write it up at the interview as a blog post, like a summary of that interview. And then I send it to them, the whole thing to them for review. And, you know, some clients are like, great, you know, just publish this. It's perfect. Some clients are much more like they want to tell their story much more in their own words. And so they'll put comments or edits and stuff. And but that gives them a sense of control, right? And then and also that gives them a sense of being seen and feeling respected. And so when you can't really go wrong when you are getting a person to talk about their experience in their own words. I think that's my favorite way of talking about my clients. And so far, it has worked perfectly.
Yeah, I think that you, just hearing you talk about it, and with your background from so many different perspectives of being just from the immigrant story to your marriage story to your education background, all that kind of stuff, you approach your business with so much empathy and so much understanding of the fact that you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's your job to approach that with our clients. And I think that is something that so many people could take note of and learn from.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, I've, you know, full disclosure, Raj and I have known each other for a while. We did some coaching for a while and everything. So I know him, I don't want to say fairly well, but I know him as far as just being so opening and open and warm and wanting to do what's right by his clients. And sometimes we just get caught in the workflow and the cycle and getting the people in and making sure we're making the money and all that kind of stuff. I really think that sometimes that we forget that there's real human beings with real stories and real needs that need to be heard for them to feel truly comfortable with working with us. Yeah. And that can only do good things. So my next question just personally for you, Raj, is since you approach your business in such an empathetic and understanding way, how has that helped you build your business in a new area? Because you were in the tech industry. Just a little recap. You were in the tech industry. You decided to forget all that and start a photography business with Boudoir in San Francisco. And then now you're in New York City, two totally different places, doing a totally different kind of photography. So how has this process helped you build your business?
I think I bring I bring a lot of myself into my work. So I, you know, what I have learned in, you know, my, you know, years, these years of like, you know, changing my career and this whole journey is I do my best work both personally and business wise when I am being true to myself. And I try to build my business in that same way. So everything in my business, from the sales tactics I use or the marketing that I do or the way the process I work with my clients is a reflection of who I am and how I want to be in life. And I think the last 2 years, especially through the pandemic, I have found that a lot of people, we talked about this a little while ago, have been compelled to reevaluate their lives. And many of them have realized that, you know, life is short and things can happen. And so we want to be much more authentic, and people are changing the definition of what it means to be professional, what it means to be, you know, what it means to be a brand. And it so happens that fits very well with who I am or what my values are. Like a lot of my clients right now, I tend to work with mostly women, but I'd like to expand that myself in my branding space. But they are women often who have recently quit very successful corporate careers to start their own business as a coach or a consultant or an entrepreneur or a speaker. And they're very much about like, you know what? I spent, you know, decades of my life fitting to this whole corporate norm and stuffing myself in a gray suit. And now I just want to like, you know, be who I am much more and just talk about who I am and what I value. And so in some sense, there's already a very clear alignment between my story and theirs. And we can connect on that level. And that is a trend that that I'm tapping, which I often like to say, you know, I did the great resignation before the great resignation of school.
So you did.
Yeah.
You absolutely did. It's like all the people who are saying, well, I'm not coming back to the office anymore.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Similarly, you know, if you look at my website, like, I talk a lot about my process and my story and like how each of my clients' stories. And that gives a sense, I believe, the feedback I get from people who show up on my consults is that I'm a very thoughtful person and they appreciate that. And they appreciate the fact that I have a very intensive process. And that automatically ends up filtering out a lot of people who want something quick and dirty, right? Or quick, you know, or something that's more cookie cutter. So there is a view in photography and portrait photography in particular that your portfolio should all look consistent, right? If you look at it, your Instagram needs to look all consistent. Your website needs to have a consistent style. If you go look at my website, almost no two clients have the same kinds of photos. It'll be very hard. If I put all of my clients on one gallery portrait, it'll be like, this is the most inconsistent gallery I've ever seen.
Sometimes people want things that they don't want it to look like everybody else.
Exactly. But also, you know, like, it's like for me as a photographer, I don't see myself necessarily as an artist. I see myself more as a craftsman and a service provider. And what that means is that my job is to help each of my clients tell their story in the best way that I can using my skills. And whatever comes out of that should be more of a reflection of them than a reflection of me. And so,
I love that so right? much.
And this is true for branding. I think this is true for anybody who's doing portrait photography as a service. I mean, if you're doing, if you're trying to be an artist and, you know, have your thing in fine art and galleries and stuff, by all means, you know, have your style and impose that on anyone you want. But as service providers, we need to have a service mindset. We are in service of our clients and telling their story. And so I approach branding as like each client is unique. I want to start from their story and I will use my skills to my best of my ability to figure out how to help them express that story. I'm a conduit for their story. And so every client's, the results turn out very different. And I love that. I want that. I don't want any client to look at their photos and be like, oh, this is like a photo that's just like somebody else. In fact, like I almost think like if people can't tell that this is a Raj photo, then that's a win. Because
that's a win for you. Yeah. I tell my clients my coaching clients all the time. I said, you know, contrary to what you see out in the photography world, this is not about you. If you truly, truly want to attract, even though I hate that term, attracting clients, if you want to serve the clients that are going to reward your business to its fullest potential, you have to realize that this is not about you. This is what they want. So I get questions all the time from people, you know, from clients saying, well, can you do this? Can you do this? Will you do this? Will you do this? And my blanket answer is, I will do my very best to try and do that for you. Because I want them to come back. I am here to provide a service for them.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that I show into my portfolio or tell other people maybe some of the times that I'm doing a small garden wedding when I technically don't do weddings? Yeah. I don't have to show it on social media. Yeah. I don't have to show every session or every client and everything, every picture that I take on social media. But that doesn't mean that behind the scenes, clients are asking me to do things to tell their story or the images that they want and the results that they want, because I can do that. But it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm showing that out to the world. They can show it out to the world because it's their story.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily what I have to show all the time. And I think we forget that a lot. And that goes back to being inclusive, having a diverse business and everything else is the fact that if you truly have the mindset that you are there to serve others, and what they want as the final result is what you need, is what you are there to provide for them if they choose you as their photographer. First of all, it's a huge honor to be asked and invited into that. A bigger honor with the fact that they're going to pay you to do it, right? And they get a chance to do something with you that they are never going to do with anyone else. And that is such a huge, huge honor.
Yeah.
That I don't take lightly. I know that you don't either. But I really appreciate your time today, Raj. And I know that we need to continue this another time because we could probably talk for hours about all these different things. I appreciate you just opening our eyes a little bit about being diverse, welcoming other people into our portfolios and into our businesses, and also the tips about how we can go find them when they may not be obvious where we live. Because I think that's something that people really do get stuck on. It's like, well, I can only show who hired, you know, the people who hire me. It's like, well, no, actually, you can show anyone you want. It just may not look like a client relationship. It might be, you might just have to do it a little bit of a different way.
Right.
So I'm going to let you go because I know that you're super, super busy and you have a lot of stuff to take care of, but I really appreciate our time together today, Raj. Before we leave though, can you let people know where they can find you on socials and see your beautiful work?
Yeah. So my business is called Series A Photography. Series as in, you know, the series of numbers, the letter A Photography. And it's seriesaphotography.com, Instagram, Series A Photography. I do not do Twitter or TikTok. LinkedIn is another place.
I don't see you on TikTok. I just have to say, that doesn't seem like that would be your channel.
No, it's not. my channel's not so surprisingly, perhaps, is the one I rely the most on is LinkedIn. So you can definitely...
LinkedIn, yeah.
You can find me on there.
I need to become more active on LinkedIn too. So Series A Photography, and that's so... That just did full circle when you said series, like a series of numbers. Mm-hmm. That was probably about the most techie way that you could have described that.
Right?
So that just brought us full circle. Yeah. Raj, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. To get more about Raj and to get links to his Instagram and all that kind of stuff, you can go to Series A Photography, or you can just hit our show notes page at nphoto.com/podcast, and we will have all that information for you there as well. So Raj, thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to speak
Likewise,
to you.
Likewise, it was a pleasure talking to you, Dory. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.nphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.nphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Nphoto. You don't want to miss it.